But even if your mom and dad abandoned you, I want you to know God did not abandon you. Because even if our parents abandon us, God will pick us up. Amen?
Hello and welcome to Living God's Way, coming to you from the Germantown Christian Assembly in the Mount Airy section of Philadelphia. In an age when many are abandoning Christian values, Pastor Brian Grant's expository preaching from the timeless Word of God will remind us that the best way to live is to live God's way. This evening, we will hear from Pastor Brian Grant as he brings a message that explains what it means to be a Christian, using as his main text Ephesians chapter 1 and verses 3 through 14. Pastor Grant will be developing his message around an acrostic, using the letters in the word Christian to draw from his text those characteristic truths that give identity to every one of Christ's believers. So if you have your Bibles, we invite you to turn with us to Ephesians chapter 1 and listen as Pastor Grant brings the first part of his message, getting a grasp on our new identity. Here now is Pastor Grant.
A famous preacher visited a nursing home for Alzheimer's patients, and he went around greeting all the people in the nursing home, and since he, you know, everybody seemed so happy to meet him. And because he was so famous, he assumed everybody knew who he was. So he went up to an old lady, a lady that was suffering with Alzheimer's, and he said to her, he said, "Do you know who I am?" She said, "No." But she said, "If you go to the front desk, they'll be able to help you figure out who you are." Do you know who you are? You know, people have a lot of problems with who am I? My sense of identity. And if somebody asks you, who are you? What would you say? You know, the surveys tell us that many Americans would answer telling you their job, what the type of work they do. In fact, 55% of Americans identify themselves by their occupation. So for some of you, if they ask you, who are you? You may say, well, I'm a physician, I'm a nurse, I'm a lawyer, I'm a hairdresser, or whatever else might come to your mind. You'll say, that's who I am. Well, others identify themselves by how they look, you know. Some people identify themselves by their family name. You may say, I'm a Rockefeller. Well, you ain't a Rockefeller. But you know, people are so into these things. Who is my family? You probably heard about Samantha Grant. It's not my cousin, but Samantha Grant is the sister of Meghan Markle. So you know the story. Who knows who Meghan Markle is? Meghan Markle, she got married to Prince Harry, you remember? And Meghan and Samantha and Meghan didn't speak to each other for a long time, and Samantha had nothing good to say about Meghan until she got married to the prince. And although her name is Grant, she changed it to Markle. Can you imagine that? She wants to be identified as part of that royal family. So that's how we identify ourselves sometimes by our occupation or our family name. And as I said, a lot of times by how we look, it's not easy all the time to figure out who you are. And it's a struggle. A lot of folks identify themselves by, for example, because I look, you know. So some folks have purple here, some have pink here, some have green here, and some have no hair. In fact, at GCA, it looks like there's a whole club of guys, bald-headed men. And they've been trying to get me to join this bald-headed club. And they say, Pastor, you got so little, you may as well join the club. Pray for me, I'm fighting. But it looks like I might soon succumb and join this bald-headed club. But hey, some people identify them, their sense of identity is based on how they dress. You know, they wear expensive, all the hot stuff, and they get all the designer names on them. It used to be, once upon a time, I really thought these people worked at those places, that the thing was, I didn't know it. They were paying to advertise somebody else's name. But that's the reality. We pay to advertise all these people's names. You know, I'll never forget. Some people, it's their clothes, some long clothes, short clothes, no clothes. I remember when I was a teenager, this girl, a young lady, she came to church and she had on the shortest, probably the shortest skirt I've ever seen in church. And I tell her, she'd come and she'd have on all these short skirts. And some of the guys, she said, there is nothing going for me. The only thing I have going for me is my legs. And she said, since my legs are so hot, I'm going to flaunt what I got. Well, of course, the ladies in the church, they didn't like all this leg showing. So some of them got something and they gave it to her to cover her legs. But she never really came back to church. You see, because that was her sense of identity. You know, sometimes if we're not careful, we realize that we try and deal with the wrong thing. Sometimes where we need to deal with is really what is behind this. What is driving this? She always grew up feeling that was the most important thing about her. And parents, we better realize that how we raise our children will have a big impact on their self-image. For their sense of identity is greatly impacted by the messages they hear in their early life. Let's never forget that. But even if you grew up in a home and ended up with a poor self-image. I hope you're listening to me now. I'm getting to the important part. Even if you grew up with a poor self-image, those of us who are Christians, the minute we became Christians, something dramatic happened because we received a brand new identity. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Oh, I hope my young people are listening to me this morning. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Our new life in Christ is the most important thing about us. Oh, I hope you hear me this morning. Because I believe, and for a lot of Christians, that's not so. For many Christians, you don't realize that the most important thing about you is the fact that you are a Christian, that you know Jesus Christ as your Savior. And this morning, I want to speak to you on the theme, getting a grasp on our new identity. Getting a grasp on our new identity. In the first three chapters of Ephesians, Paul shared some amazing truths about our identity in Christ. And my friend, he recognized if we don't get a grasp on our identity in Christ, we will never be able to live out the experience, to live the way God wants us to live, as is described in the last three chapters of the book of Ephesians. But in the first three, he shares some amazing truths about our identity in Christ. And when we get a grasp of these things, I am convinced it will revolutionize our life. So this is why I'm hoping you're listening good this morning, because God wants to do something revolutionary in your life. He wants to get you fired up. He wants to get you out of the box. He wants you to understand who you are because you are in Christ. To help you remember what I'm talking about, I'm going to do something I don't normally do. I don't normally speak from acrostics, but this morning I'm going to use the word Christian. You say, Pastor, you're going to share 9 points. Yes, but don't worry. I'm not going to go over time because I'm going to be quick. But I want to share 9 points. I want to use this word Christian because I am trying to get across to you that the most important fact about my life is that I am a Christian, amen. That is what we want to leave here with this morning. That's what God wants every one of us to leave here with. That the most important thing about us is that we are Christians. So what is the C? I'm going to use the C. Chosen. I am chosen. I was pre-selected by God for salvation, amen. I was pre-selected by God for salvation. Here's what it said in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world. I was pre-selected for salvation. I met people whose self-image was damaged from childhood because they felt that their parents abandoned them. And I'm sure there are people right here in this congregation like that. It hurt you. It has damaged you because you felt that your parents abandoned you at an early age. But even if your mom and dad abandoned you, I want you to know God did not abandon you. Because even if our parents abandon us, God will pick us up. Amen? And my Bible tells me, and we just read, that God chose you. Listen good. He not only chose you. Did you see when he chose you? He chose you from before the foundation of the world. Listen. Before God made the world, he had his mind on you. He had his mind on me. And he chose me for salvation. Pre-selected me for salvation. And I'm here to tell you, I feel special. Amen. It's not that God didn't know what he was getting into. He knew exactly all the drama I would go through. He knew all the bad places and the mistakes and the sin and the mess I would make of my life. He knew it. And guess what? He knew your stuff too. But hallelujah, despite the fact that he knew all about us, he selected us anyhow. He loved us and he selected us. And I am here to tell you that's something to shout about. Amen. Never forget who you are. Young person, older person, if you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, never forget who you are. You were pre-selected for salvation. God loves you. God chose you. But secondly, C-H, chosen, but no, I'm holy. Oh, put that down in your notes. I am holy. In verse number 4 of Ephesians, we just read you. He chose us in him before the foundation of the world that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. The word holy means to be set apart for God. That's what holiness is. To be holy is to be set apart for God. In the Old Testament, you see so many instances of this because they had all these holy vessels. These vessels were set apart for God, God's purpose and God's use. And when God saved us, he set us apart for himself. We are his blameless children.
Stay tuned for the conclusion of today's broadcast. To help with your personal walk with God, Pastor Grant has made available printed outlines of today's message with all the scriptures referenced. For your copy, please visit our website, livinggodsway.org, that's livinggodsway.org, or call our office at 215-242-5550. Once again, 215-242-5550. And now let's return to Pastor Grant for the conclusion of today's message.
I'm so glad how highly God thinks of us. Aren't you? But can we talk? Sometimes we don't behave so holy. Am I the only one? Sometimes he says we are holy and blameless, but sometimes I don't behave so holy. You know, the tragedy is sometimes I run into people who say they are Christians and they're not walking right, but it doesn't seem to bother them a bit. And if you're here this morning and you're one of those who like to show up and shout hallelujah, but you're not living right and it doesn't seem to bother you, you better check yourself to see whether you're really in the faith. Because when Jesus comes into my life, something ought to happen. I'm a brand new person. And if the Spirit of God is living in you, and you can live in sin, and it doesn't bother you, probably you're not in the faith. You know, the Bible says that we need to check ourselves to make sure we are in the faith. Sometimes, particularly for some of us who got saved young, we believe because we said some prayer in Sunday school, We are saved. But listen, you cannot be saved unless there is repentance, where there is a sorrow in your heart, a sorrow for sin, and a desire to turn from sin and to turn to God. And if you haven't done that before, you need to do it this morning. But you know, there are some folks who they're truly saved, and they're really trying to live a Christian life, but they're having a tough time. They're struggling, and sometimes the struggle is so hard that they get depressed. They feel that they're never going to achieve. It's not going to happen. But I got good news for you, my friend. If you're one of those that's struggling, I got good news. Victory is ahead. You say, Pastor, how do I know victory is ahead? Because God has already determined that you will be holy and blameless. He has really made that determination. And I want you to know, because He has already made that determination, He has given you all the resources that you need to be holy and blameless. He has given you the resources, and He's there cheering you on. Amen. He's in your cheering section, encouraging you. And that's why the Spirit of God keeps prompting you and saying, hey, you shouldn't do that. God is working in you to produce what He wants to produce. And little by little, every day, Jesus will change you until, you see, in our standing, we are holy. And what God wants is in our state, in our day-by-day life, that we become holy. And it's going to happen. So listen, I am chosen, I am holy. But third, I am redeemed. I am redeemed. Here's what it says in verse number 7 of chapter 1. In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. Redemption means to free someone from bondage. Amen. Redemption means to free someone from bondage by paying a ransom. And we were once in slavery to sin and Satan, but praise the Lord, what? Jesus set us free by paying a ransom. What was the ransom? His life. He shed His blood. We have been redeemed by His blood, and we are now free. And John's Gospel, chapter 8, verse 36 tells us, if the Son has set you free, you are free indeed. So what's God has made us free. So what's this freedom all about? You see, sometimes we think, I hope you're listening to me. Because I think some Christians have the wrong idea. Know that I'm free. I'm free to do what I want to do. I can come. I can worship God when I feel like. I can do what when I feel like. I don't think we still get it. That the freedom is a freedom not to do what I want to do, but freedom to do what I ought to do. Well, somebody ought to hear me this morning. It's freedom to do what I ought to do. You say, but I could always do what I ought to do. No. There was a time while you're in bondage to sin and Satan, you could not do what you ought to do. You were bound, and therefore we had no choice but to do sinful things. Amen. There is absolutely nothing you could have done while you're in slavery to Satan that really pleased God. In fact, God actually said that. He said, all your what? Righteousness. Where was it? Like what? Filthy rags. We couldn't do anything that God regarded as righteous. But now that the blood of Jesus has washed us from all sin, we can now live a life of freedom, a life to please God, a life of righteousness. But listen to this. We are now free to fulfill God's purpose in our life. I don't want you to miss that. Put that in your notes. I am free to fulfill God's purpose. I know, I'm so glad God made me with a purpose. And while I was in bondage to sin and Satan, I could never fulfill God's purpose, because God is trying to make me like Jesus. Hallelujah. But now that I belong to Jesus, now that I have been redeemed, I can, by the power of the indwelling Spirit, I can achieve God's purpose for my life. Young person, I hope you're listening to me good. Parents, make sure we help our kids to realize the greatest thing in their life once they come to Jesus is that they're Christians. We make the mistake when we think the greatest thing is that they get a great education. Make sure they get a good education. But listen, the greatest thing is that I belong to Jesus. Hallelujah. That's where my identity comes from. And when our kids understand who they are in Jesus, this whole identity crisis will go away. We won't have to be trying to see those crazy stuff and jumping from relationship to relationship. We won't have to be trying to follow every kid in school and be uncertain, am I a boy? Am I a girl? What in the dickens am I? We won't have all that drama because I will know who I am. Because I am in Jesus Christ. Amen. C, I'm chosen. Hallelujah. H, I am. Oh, help me out, somebody. Oh, don't go to sleep on me now. R, I'm redeemed. I am an inheritor. I'm an inheritor. And here's how it puts it in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13. It says, in him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession. Oh, hallelujah. We have a guaranteed inheritance in heaven. Amen. I was speaking to the students on Thursday night at Arcadia, and I was sharing with them some years ago. I'll never forget it. I was driving on 60th Route 63, and I heard this preacher on the radio, and a well-known preacher, and he said he's sick and tired of all these Christians who are talking about when they get to heaven, they're going to walk on the streets of gold, and you know, they're going to have a mansion and all of this stuff. He said, the next time any Christian comes to me, this is a preacher, you know, he says, the next time any Christian comes to me and talks about streets of gold, I'm going to punch them. And then he said, because I wish I could shout, I want my gold now, he said. I want my mansion now. Well, his focus was right here. But oh, I'm so glad that we got a hope beyond this life. Amen. The Bible says, if in this life only we have hope, we are of all men most miserable. But oh, I'm so glad we have hope beyond this life. Amen. And some of us have relatives who have passed, and some of our relatives may be in bad shape right now, but I'm so glad those of us who know Jesus and our mom and our dad are in Jesus. I'm so glad that we have a hope beyond this grave, that one of these days we will see them again. Listen, but when I get to heaven, I'm glad there's going to be a mansion or a room. I'm okay with the definition. You know, one translation of the Bible says rooms. And I actually like the idea of a room. Because I think too many Christians we were at National Religious Broadcasters Conference a week or two ago. One of the brothers, he said, you know, what bothers him is that he feels that that if somebody came to many of us Christians and said, I have good news, when you go to heaven, you're going to get a good big mansion. There's going to be streets of gold. It's going to be like pure glass, oh, like crystal. And he goes on and tells you all the stuff. And then he says, the only problem, Jesus is not going to be there. The preacher said, the thing that bothers him is that he wonders if some Christians would say, that's all right. As long as I got my mansion, I'm good to go. Because sometimes I think our focus is on the wrong thing. You see, the big deal about heaven is not your mansion. The big thing about heaven is that we will be with Jesus. Somebody ought to say amen. The big thing about Jesus is that we shall see our Savior, and we'll be able to see the nail prints in his hands and in his feet. We'll be able to see the mark in his side where his blood was shed for our salvation and our redemption, and we will be able able to worship our Savior. We will see His glory, and oh, it will be glory for me just to see Him and to enjoy His presence. Somebody say amen. Thank God we have our inheritors. There's a big inheritance in heaven. And hallelujah, it's reserved. My name is on it. Do you have your name? Do you have a reserved inheritance in heaven? Too many people have a hope so salvation. I don't want to go to that nice restaurant thinking I had a reservation. And the man said, I don't have your name. Join that line. After 2 hours, he said to me, sorry, can't take you tonight. You know, there are folks who are going to get to heaven. Well, they won't get there. Because it's not like you're going to make it and then you get turned back. You won't even get there. But sadly, there are some folks running to them all the time who figure they're going to get to heaven because of their good works, because they're not as bad as other people, because they were baptized or religiously Simonized or whatever it is. But the only way to get to heaven is through the cross. The way of the cross leads home. Do you know Jesus? Have you been saved? But listen, C-H-R-I-S, I am sealed.
My friend, Jesus loves you so much that if you were the only person in the whole world, He would have died just for you. No matter what you've done, Jesus wants to save you. He wants to forgive you today. You say, Pastor Grant, what do I need to be saved? You simply need to trust the Lord Jesus, repent of your sin, and turn to Him. You may pray a simple prayer like this. Dear God, I'm a sinner, need your forgiveness. Thank you that Jesus died for my sins. Please cleanse me from all my sin. I receive Jesus Christ into my heart as my personal Savior and Lord. Please help me to live for you from this day forward. Amen. And my friend, if you pray a simple prayer like that and mean it, God will hear you and He will answer your prayer and He will save you. I hope you'll do that right now.
Thanks for tuning in today. If you received Christ or if this program was a blessing, it would be a great encouragement to hear from you. You may call us at 215-887-4750 or visit our website, livinggodsway.org. That's livinggodsway.org. And remember to ask for our daily devotional, The Word for You Today. We'd also invite your partnership in this life-changing ministry. Gifts can be made through our website or by writing to us at 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. The address again is 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. We invite you to join us for worship this Sunday at 10:45 a.m. It will certainly be a pleasure to meet you. Now, until next week, on behalf of Pastor Grant and our entire church family, this is Steve Washington reminding you that there's no better way to live than to live God's way.